Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
We've been praying about what we were going to give, and I was praying about what to preach on today, and I begged God, please, don't let me just preach about money, because it's more than a seed is more than just preaching about money. It's more than about just giving in an offering. It's more than just your tithe. Let me say again, it's more than that. It does include that, but it's more than that. So God led me to this scripture. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. If you're there, say, I am. If you're not, say, hold up. All right, we all there. Let's go. It says, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. Can I let you know something? You ain't got to understand all of God's instructions. All you got to do is obey. That's for free. Verse 28. The earth produces the crops on its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, and then the heads of the wheat are formed. And finally the grain ripens. That word finally, as I was reviewing my notes this morning, that word finally stuck out to me. And I've decided I'm going to do a message one day called The Finality of Finally. Don't laugh at me, because there's a point where you look at your kids when they finally grasp something that you're telling them, or they finally clean their room, they finally do what you've asked them to do 15,000 times. They finally grasp what you're talking about. There's a time when things ripen and come to fruition in our lives. We've got to hold on till it gets there sometimes, though. Hang with me. Verse 29. And as soon as the grain was ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. Let my words be few, your words be powerful, and let your spirit flow over this place. And plant seeds in each one of us and through each one of us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I've got a confession to make. I have never, in 25 years of ministry, I have never preached on this passage. And that blew my mind when I went back and I've looked at my notes from past years. I've never preached. And I've even got a bigger confession. I had even forgotten that this parable existed until I was led to it again. I've read it probably hundreds of times with other preachers that have preached, and in my devotion times, I keep journals. But I had even forgotten about it until God led me to this passage this week. And when I think of parables with planting and sowing in them, I think of probably the same parables that you think of. I think of the parable of the sower, where he's got the four kinds of ground that he sows seed on, and then it sprouts up, and different kinds of ground. I think of that one. Then I also think of the parable of the seed of the grain and or the wheat and the tares. That's the only two that I think of, and the reason why is because those sermons preach themselves. Those messages preach themselves. Also, Jesus explained those messages. He explained those parables to his disciples. Do you understand that Jesus never explains the parable of this good seed, of this growing seed? He never explained this parable to his students. Let me explain what a parable is. For those of you that don't know what a parable is a moral story using everyday things. That's breaking it down very simply. It's a moral story to convey a spiritual message using everyday activity. Jesus was Mr. Miyagi before Mr. Miyagi was cool. Those of you that remember the Karate Kid, he would take everyday movements and turn them into karate moves. Listen, I watched that movie so many times, and I tried to emulate that so many times, and I didn't do nothing but hurt myself. But he was Mr. Miyagi before Mr. Miyagi was cool. He would use everyday things, things that people did every single day, and he would tell a story about it, and he would relate it to them using relate spiritual truths to them using that everyday thing. That's why I love storytelling. That's why I tell a lot of stories during my messages. That's why I tell a lot of stories when I'm around people. It's not because I'd like to talk, although that is pretty apparent, I guess. But it's because I love stories. That's why I love movies. I love hearing stories. I have a way of attracting people that tell me stories. I've been on planes where I didn't know anybody. I would sit down next to somebody, and next thing you know, they're telling me their life story, or they're telling me about how they fought in World War II, or they fought in the Korean War, and all this kind of stuff. Y'all think I'm joking? My wife's over here nodding her head, about to bank it on the back of that chair, because she understands I'll just attract people like that because I like stories. I'm a big question asker. I'm an interviewer, and I ask questions. But the reason why I love stories is because it's how Jesus taught, and it seemed to work pretty well for him. So why can't I do it? So that's why I tell stories. Now, because of the simplicity of this story, though, we need to be very careful, because we can overlook the spiritual truths and the principles that God is trying to give us inside of this story. If you're with me, say, I am. Jesus was not giving a lecture on how nature works. You've got to think. He was not telling them, okay, now this is how the world works. This is what happens. The rain comes. You plant the seed, and the rain comes, and it waters, and then it grows. These people were agricultural people. It was how they earned their living. It's how where most of their food came from. That's the way they knew about that. So why is he telling them how a seed grows? It's because there's a principle that he's trying to get across to them about the seed that they plant, not in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. And it's something that we need to pay attention to today. Jesus was sharing spiritual principles and instructions on the Word of God and how he wants to use us to spread that Word. He takes just a moment in this story to share with us the roles we have to play in the kingdom of God. The roles you have and the role he has. We each have roles in the kingdom, amen? He then makes it very clear what his role is and what our role is and how we need to be patient in the process. Today, we're going to simply walk through this scripture and discover our roles, God's role, and how to fulfill them together. Are you with me? Are you ready to jump in? My introduction is gone. I'm getting to the meat now. The first role that we have is we are a sower. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're a sower. Now, I'm not talking about a seamstress. I'm not talking about making a dress or making some pants. I'm talking about sowing as in you cast your seed out onto the ground. You put it out where it can grab hold, and it can grab hold of the soil so that it can grow. You can't have harvest without a seed. That's a simple truth. And a simple rule of thought, okay, or a rule of thumb. You cannot have a harvest without a seed, without seed. I would love to have vegetables, fresh vegetables and fresh fruit in my house at all the time. More, let me just be honest with you. Maybe not the vegetables. I like the fruit. If that was a plant that I could put in the ground and it would grow me a ribeye steak, I can guarantee you I'd have me a farm. But I would love to have all of that. But I would love to have the cucumbers and the pineapple, the apples, the peaches, the oranges, all that kind of stuff. I would love to have all of that stuff. Now, see, Stephanie's over there laughing at me because she can grow all that. I can't do none of it. But the thing is, I would love to have all of that, but I can't walk out into my backyard and then get mad. Well, why ain't there potatoes back here? Why don't I have some peas growing over here? Hey, where's my peas at? I can't get mad because there's none out there. Why? Because I ain't put it in the ground. Pardon my French. I know I'm using ain't a lot. But I have not put it in the ground. I have not sown seed into that situation yet. I can't expect what I don't plant. Somebody needs to hear that today. You can't expect something that you don't plant in your life. We bear the role of a spiritual farmer in the kingdom of God. Farming into other people's lives and into our own. Mark 4:26, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. The kingdom of God is like, what he means in that, it says, this is a process. This is the process of the kingdom of God. It's a course of events whereby God begins to govern or to act as king or lord, an action, therefore, by which God manifests his being God in the world of men. All of that to say, let me break all that down. What he is saying is this. This is how spreading the word of God happens. That's breaking all that phrase down. I took that from a website that gave the definition of the kingdom of God is like. And to me, that can get very confusing. So I'm breaking it down in the PAV, the Pastor Aaron version. This is how you tell people about Jesus. This is how you get the word of God out. It's sort of like this. That's what he was saying. He is revealing that we are part of the team and we have a role to play. He says, like a farmer who scatters seed. He had just told a story just a few or a little bit earlier. He had just told a story a few verses back, the parable of the sower about the four types of ground. In Mark 4:13 and 14, he gives an explanation of the farmer in that story. And he says this, then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, talking about the parable of the sower, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. In other words, he was giving them the basic instructions of, okay, you want to understand anything I'm about to tell these people? You've got to understand, you are the farmer and the seed is the word of God. Let me say it again. You are the farmer. And the seed is the word of God. The words you speak, the words you act out, whatever you do, it is the word of God. He was being very basic in explaining that. He's saying, if you can understand that, you'll understand everything else I say. But Lord bless the disciples. They weren't exactly the sharpest knives in the drawer someday. That's why they had to ask so many questions. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, okay? I understand that. But I can grasp that. I can grasp that I'm a farmer. I'm a sower. I'm somebody that needs to get out there and get to work. Perhaps this is why Jesus didn't explain the parable later on that we just read. Because he was clearly saying that disciples were farmers and that our job as disciples is to scatter seed or God's word by sharing it with others. However you plant the seed of God's word, understand that it is our primary role in the kingdom. It's the job that he has given us. You have seed. Turn to the person next to you and say, you got a seed. Come on, say it to the person on your second choice and say, you got a seed on the other side. You got a seed. You have a seed that is meant to impact people around you. You have a seed that is supposed to impact people in the stores that you frequent. They're supposed to impact the work, the places of work that you go to. You're supposed to impact people in your classrooms, students. You're supposed to impact the people in your classroom. One thing we've been talking about a lot in our youth classes is about witnessing and about how to witness. So you have somebody that you have a seed that you need to plant. Even in the empty seat next to you, you need to plant a seed. Well, how do I plant a seed in an empty seat? By putting somebody in it. I once did a message called the danger of an empty chair. I think I've shared that one time. We've got empty chairs all over the place right here. Okay, now we are getting fuller. Come on, somebody, we are growing. I'm excited, but there's a danger in an empty chair because you never know who's going to come sit down next to you. Maybe you get that strange guy come and sit down next to you. Maybe you get that weird person that'll come. You want to protect the seat next to you? Invite somebody to sit next to you. I'm joking, y'all. Seriously. But there's a danger in an empty seat because if that empty seat represents somebody who doesn't know Jesus. There's a lot of people that don't know Jesus that aren't in this room today. We need to plant a seed into those empty chairs, into the lives of the people that we run into. There should not be an empty chair in the kingdom of God. That's why I need to move on. I need to move on. I'm going to get off here in just a minute if I ain't careful. Let me get back to my notes here before I get too far off. We bear the role of a spiritual farmer. He's clearly saying that we need to sow those seeds. The farmer plants seed. What is the seed? We've already talked about that. The farmer says it, or it says it in verse 14. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. It is the speaking of the word, the praying of the word, the application of the word in your life, and the displaying of the word in our lives that scatters that same word to the fields around us. Every bit of it. I told you we've been talking in the youth about sharing the gospel. 2 weeks ago, or a week ago this past Wednesday, my challenge to him was show the goodness of God to somebody this week. Show the goodness of God. And they were like, well, how do I do that? How do I show the goodness of God, Pastor Aaron? I don't know how to do that. Well, and I told them, you can do anything. Invite somebody to sit at your lunch table that you don't normally sit with. Just ask somebody how their day was. Tell somebody they look pretty today. Or guys aren't going to go up to a guy and go, man, you look handsome today. No, don't do that, guys. But tell them they look good today. Or tell them that they're doing a good job at whatever they're doing. If they're on the field or if they're in the school or whatever. Show the goodness of God. One of them said, we invited some folks to come and sit with us that we have never sat with before. And that was awesome. They're acting it out. Church, listen to me. The students are catching hold of it. I think we need to grab it too. They're inviting people to sit at the empty chairs at their lunch tables. Let's invite people to sit in the empty chairs in our church. I had another one that said, you know what? I paid for the meal behind me in the drive-thru line. That is showing the goodness of God. This week, I've challenged them. Start a conversation with somebody about the Jesus that you love. How do I do that, Pastor Aaron? And we went through over some areas on how they could do that. I'm not going to rehash my entire message for them Wednesday night, but they've been grabbing a hold of that. The seed that God has placed inside of us is put in our hands, and it is the most important thing that we have. Our role of sowing seed is the most important role that we could ever have. Jesus sent his disciples out to plant seed, right? The Bible says he sent his disciples out. They were supposed to go and preach the gospel. They were supposed to cast out demons. They were supposed to preach that God is coming soon. That the time of the kingdom is at hand. They were supposed to tell all these stories. They were supposed to tell all these people about all these things. His final words as he rose to heaven, as he went through that first layer of clouds, he's shouting back down to them, saying, listen to me, guys. His final words were, go and preach, go and tell, go and teach, go and plant the words that I've given you. Give it to somebody else. Those were his last words to his disciples before he whizzed through the clouds and went up into heaven. I've heard it said that his last command should be our first priority. It's our job to go and do that. Everyone wants a harvest, though, but not everyone sees the importance of the seed. But I've got news for you. Your enemy sees the importance of your seed. Why do you think he's trying to steal it? Come on. It's about to get real. The enemy sees the importance of the seed in your hand. He is not concerned. Let me say this loudly. The devil is not concerned. The enemy is not concerned with your harvest. If he is waiting until the harvest to attack you, he has waited too long, because he can't do anything once the fruit grows in your life. What he's after is your seed. He doesn't want your harvest. He wants the source of it. If you never plant a seed, your harvest is gone. I want to make sure I don't skip anything. That's the reason why I'm running back. Our goal is the fruit, but we can't get there without the seed. That's the problem, is that we don't plant the seed the way we're supposed to. I can't tell you how many people I've had come to me and say, Pastor Aaron, I want great things in my life. I want great things in my heart. I want great things but then they never plant any seed to bring those things out. Pastor Aaron, I want God's Spirit in my family. Okay, where's the seed of you showing the priorities that you should have in a spiritual realm? When you sit, I'm going to be careful here. When you let other things take priority over the Word of God, and you don't pray the way that you should, you don't read the Word the way you should, you don't obey the way that you should. Pastor Aaron, I want my kids to know God, and I want them to know who He is. I want them to know that He is a miracle working God. I want God to bless them. Okay, you want God to bless them. Where is your spiritual seed that you are sowing into their lives by making sure that they know that God is a priority and that spending time in His presence is a priority instead of staying and going on a trip or doing this or doing that? Now I understand you take trips and you need to take trips and you need to have fun, but the thing is, when we let everything else take precedent over the Word of God and over the place of God, that's a problem. Because to be honest with you, you're still sowing a seed, but you're sowing the wrong seed. I was supposed to say this last week and I didn't say it, but it's a saying that has been around for years now. I'm trying to think of how it goes, but one generation seems, or what one generation treats as optional, the next generation will see as unnecessary. Let me say this, and hear my heart. If you wake up on Sunday morning and are deciding whether to go to church or not because it's an option for you, your kids will not even think about it. Are you with me? I understand. We work hard. We play hard. We stay busy. And we go and we go and we go and we go and we go. But when we let our lives get so full that we push God off to the side, then we are letting our seed die without ever being planted. We need to sow seed into those situations. Pastor Aaron, I want to be financially stable. I want to be financially blessed. Oh, yeah, well, where's your obedience? Where's your obedience seed where you are giving in tithes and in your offerings on a regular basis? I told you I didn't want to preach on money today. I want to see our church filled, Pastor Aaron, with the Spirit of God. Oh, yeah, where's your seed of intercessory prayer? Where's your seed of tarrying before God at the altars, crying out for the lost and crying out for the lost in your own personal family? Church, I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I want you to understand you can't have a harvest without a seed. If the enemy can stop our seed, he will steal our harvest. Fulfill your role as a sower in everything that you do. How, and you may ask, how is it that my seed is going to make a difference? It's small. It's insignificant. Let me tell you something. If you are being obedient, your seed will make a difference. Because it's in our obedience that we show our love for God. It's in our love for God that we end up loving people. And it's in by loving people that we end up making disciples. Yeah, I think I've heard that before. Love God, love people, make disciples. That's what it's all about. We plant our seed, but then God takes over. We're the sower. He's the grower. After the farmer sows the seed, he disappears. He isn't walking away out of frustration or indifference. He is walking away because he has done his job. Mark 4:27 says, night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand it. Growth is not the farmer's responsibility. Now, yes, we play a part in growing the kingdom of God. Yes, we play a part in growing Calvary Temple. But we sow the seed into lives, but it's God that causes the growth into the lives of the people. To obtain a harvest, we have to leave what was planted in the ground. We can't go out and pick at it and look at it and pull it up and see if the seed is starting to grow. We can't uncover it and say, are you doing anything yet? Come on, grow. We can't walk up to somebody that you are speaking life into. You can't look at them and start screaming at them, why ain't you growing? Now, there's sometimes I wanted to do that. I want to wring some necks sometimes. Because I'm sitting there, I'm going, didn't I tell you? But everything grows at its own pace. And we have to understand that God causes the growth in the life, not us. We can't will it. We can't make it happen. We can't force it. No matter how hard the farmer tries, he cannot make the seed take hold and he cannot make it grow. My mom, years ago, when I was like really small, back before I had gray hair, and back when I was actually skinny, yes, it is true. I was skinny at one point, and then I reached sixth grade, and it's like I got stung by a bee, and I never swelled back down. But the thing is, my mom bought. She went to Florida for something, and she bought a lemon tree seedling and an orange tree seedling. And she brought it. I bought these for you. I'm so excited because I loved oranges and I loved lemons. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to eat oranges every day. I'm so excited, Mama. This is awesome. And every day, they would sit on our back porch, and I would run outside in the mornings. Is there a lemon yet? Grow! I want a lemon! I want an orange! And I would be so mad because it wasn't growing. But the thing is, I had no control over that. The farmer has no control over the growth of what is planted. He does his job by putting it in the ground. Yes, he may look at it. He may inspect the field at times. He may even water the field at times. But he cannot go beneath the soil and make that seed take root. Are you with me? The farmer had to patiently wait until it was time for his next role. James 5:7, dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. He had to wait until it came about. I'm sure that he would look over the field, inspect it, check it out. He even watered it. But he had nothing to do with the growth. He had to wait and trust that God would make it happen, or that it would come from the soil. God is the only one that can cause growth of the seed that we plant. The word of God that we plant is alone the source of the growth. And I'm about to skip a whole lot because I'm ready to get to the end of this. Inside of this verse, it says on its own, talking about the seed, it starts to grow on its own, or the soil produces growth on its own. That on its own in the original Greek, it actually was automatos. And no, I'm not talking about automatos. I'm talking about automatos, which meant automatic. That tells me something about the Word of God. It automatically, it is alive, and it automatically is going to start to grow, not because of what we have done, but because it has growth inside of it. It has the spark of life. When you look at a seed in your hand, it looks dead. It looks broken. It looks like it's never going to amount to anything. If you take an acorn from an oak tree, you take an acorn, you look at it, and it is this big. And you look at it, and you go, this is never going to amount to anything. But once you put it in the ground, there is a spark of life inside of it that automatically starts to burst forth out of that shell of that acorn, and it takes root and starts to grow, and it ends up, if it is treated right, and if it works right, and if it gets the nutrients it's supposed to, it grows to be one of the strongest trees that you can imagine. Why? Because it's automatic inside of it. That tells me something. It reminds me that there will always be a harvest in the spiritual realm when you plant a seed. In the physical realm, yes, crops fail, especially if I touch them. They ain't going to grow. But in the spiritual realm, it cannot return void. It cannot come back barren. It cannot come back without anything on it. Listen, Paul understood his role very well when speaking to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:6. I'm skipping a whole lot. I'm down to slide 23, Brother Brad. It says, 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but God is the one who makes it grow. Our job is to plant into other people's lives. God's role is to bring it to maturity and to get people ready for the next step, which is the harvest. And right now, I'm going to ask for the worship team to come back. And Brother Rodney, I don't know, are you about there? If you would, let Pastor Trevor know now's the time that he needs to start bringing them over. This is where we come back in. This is where we come back in. Is that we come back in at the harvest time. The farmer disappeared when he planted the seed, but at the harvest time he returns. God chose us to be a part of the process in the spiritual realm. The farmer in the story disappeared after he sowed the seed. He came back in Mark 4:29. He came back in Mark 4:29 and says this, and as soon as the grain is ready, come on somebody, as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle. For the harvest time has come. It is God's intention to use us in the harvest time. It is God's intention to use us in the harvest time. The farmer in the story disappeared, but then came back. Matthew 9, 37 and 38 says that he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more." I want you to concentrate on that word more. That word more means that there's more. There's more. Because he's speaking to harvesters at that point in that time. But he said, but there's more than just you. Listen, I'm telling you today, you are the more. You are the more that God has called. He wasn't leaving the disciples out. He was adding to them. Older generation in this room, let me tell you something. You are still a part of the more. Younger generation, you are being added to the previous generation. None of us are jobless. We've all got a job to do. But as we are planting, we are also reaping. A harvest is guaranteed in the spiritual realm. I talked about this earlier. Isaiah 55. Verses 10 and 11. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens, and they stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer. Notice, I just recognized that. It said seed for the who? For the farmer. Why? Because the farmer is the one that's in charge of planting the seed. He produces seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. Come on, somebody. I send it out and it always produces fruit. Always. He doesn't say sometimes. He doesn't say it might. He doesn't say that it possibly could. He says it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. Let me let you know something. If the seed that you have planted looks like it isn't growing yet, be patient and wait for the harvest. Be patient and wait for the growth that is coming from Him. If you understand me, say I do. Stand with me today. Don't be discouraged waiting on the harvest. One of my favorite sayings that my wife has, and she stole it from another lady by the name of Annie F. Downs. Amazing, amazing woman. Teacher of the word. God, and she said this, God moves slowly and suddenly. Now that may not make any sense to you, but there's a reason why she says "and suddenly." It may look like God is not moving, but it's under the soil He's making roots. It may not look like there's any fruit coming out, but God is already in the midst of it and making it work. He moves slowly and suddenly. The harvest will be here before you know it. Be ready for the harvest. If you understand me, say I do.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.